Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. This summer, the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival will present productions of The Most Spectacularly Lamentable Trial of Miss Martha Washington by James Imes and William Shakespeare's The Tempest. Since 1987, HVSF has presented plays in rep under the theater tent at Boscobel House and Gardens in Garrison, New York. At the close of this season, their revels there will end and the company will move to a new property. Davis McCallum is the artistic director of the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival, and he joins us now. Hi, Davis. Welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah. I'm delighted to be here.
A summer season, a post-COVID summer season, the last at Hudson Valley Shakespeare's home at Boscobel. How did you put it together? What did you and your team decide you would put up, and how did you choose it?
Well, I mean, we, like everybody else in the American theater, we weren't sure, 6 months ago what this summer was going to be like and whether we would be allowed to welcome audiences back to our tent. And so we had this kind of scheduling game of here are these dates where we'd have to, you know, kind of cross the Rubicon and decide that we were going to produce in person and put up the tent and hire artists and get producing. But we knew sometime in the wintertime that if we were allowed to produce in-person theater this summer, that we were going to do these two projects under the tent. One of them is this incredible play by James Imes called The Most Spectacularly Lamentable Trial of Ms. Martha Washington. And our production is directed by Taylor Reynolds. And then the second play that we're going to be producing later in the summer is a new production of Shakespeare's The Tempest, directed by longtime HBSF company member Ryan Quinn. And both of those plays are in person. And then normally in the spring, we would do a tour to schools of a smaller cast Shakespeare play. And of course, this year that wasn't going to be possible in person. So like so many other arts organizations, we had to pivot. And we decided that since we were planning to do a production of Shakespeare's Macbeth that we would tour, directed by Raz Golden, we decided to turn that into an audio play, which we could release as a podcast and get into classrooms and interact with teachers and students through the magic of a radio drama, which has turned out to be a wonderful thing for that particular project.
Tell me about what you and your production teams learned in turning drama into radio, if you'll allow, audio recordings during the pandemic, and how you approached Macbeth to be an audio play.
Well, I mean, it was just fortuitous because Macbeth is one of Shakespeare's most auditory plays. The sounds of the language and actually the language of sounds is so key to the imagery and the kind of world of the play. And it's kind of an earworm of a play, you know, even from the beginning, you know, fair is foul and foul is fair, hover through the fog and filthy air. It's the kind of thing that can kind of work on you when it hits your eardrums and has its way with your imagination. The director, Raz Golden, had worked at the Public Theater in Manhattan on a couple of their radio plays over the summer. So he had all of this expertise and experience in crafting three-dimensional space and rhythm and structure and narrative only through sound. And I actually think it's a art form that seems to be having a moment right now. You know, podcasting is such a big deal. And while we've been isolated physically, I think people have kind of rediscovered the pleasure of imaginative stimulation through their ears. You know, for Shakespeare's audience, they wouldn't say, let's go see a play. They'd say, let's go hear a play. In some ways, it felt like a very Shakespearean move to invite kids to experience Macbeth first as a sound event.
What was the feedback from students and teachers? How did it land with the kids?
Well, I think the feedback has been terrific to the point where we decided, look, as exciting as this was to you know, interact with educators and kids in the classrooms, we were so proud of the work that we wanted to release it to the general public, too. So we've made it available to everybody for the next couple of weeks. So you can get on our website and download it and, you know, listen to it in the car or listen to it on your earphones. Or if you're really brave, you can listen to it while you're falling asleep and let Shakespeare and Macbeth have its way with your dreams.
The second show of the summer you already mentioned is James Imes' The Most Spectacularly Lamentable Trial of Ms. Martha Washington. It's running at Boscobel, June 24th through July 30th, directed by Taylor Reynolds. Tell us a little bit about this play.
I'm just so proud to be producing this play. You know, I want to shout out the Black Theater Troupe of Upstate New York, mm-hmm. who produced this play in 2019 in Albany. You know, so we're not the first theater company in New York State to do it. It's had a production in D.C. and one in Philly. And there was a big production that was slated in Chicago right before the pandemic, which never saw the light of day. But it just feels like, although it was written in 2014, it feels like a play that speaks powerfully to the urgent calls for racial justice that have kind of echoed throughout American society over the last 18 months. You know, and really the form of the play takes its jumping off place, a historical fact, which is that Martha Washington stipulated in her will that the enslaved people at Mount Vernon would be granted their freedom. Oh, actually, it was George Washington who stipulated in his will that the enslaved people at Mount Vernon would be freed upon the occasion of Martha Washington's death. So it sets up this real dramatic tension at the start of the play, which is set on Christmas Eve in 1800, as Martha Washington is direly ill upstairs, and the enslaved people in that house are awaiting the end and the promised freedom that would accompany it, you know, and the drama of it is the Black characters saying to Martha Washington, the first lady of America, you know, will you or won't you own up to your part in America's original sin and do the right thing? So it feels like it's very consonant with conversations that have been happening all over this country in recent months and years.
That is The Most Spectacularly Lamentable Trial of Ms. Martha Washington by James Imes, running at Boscobel, presented by Hudson Valley Shakespeare, June 24th through July 30th, directed by Taylor Reynolds. And then your Shakespeare Under the Tent this year, you are doing The Tempest, which I always mention whenever one does put up this show. I was a truly amateurish and terrible Miranda a number of years ago in a production of The Tempest. So there's that. But that isn't part of this story. Ryan Quinn is directing for you guys. Why'd you choose The Tempest for this year?
Well, I chose it for a number of reasons. You know, a lot of people think it might be Shakespeare's final play, although we don't really know the chronology of the writing of the plays. But it has this kind of grace note, valedictory quality to it. Mm-hmm. And we knew that this season was going to be our last in residence at Boscobel House and Gardens, where we've been a tenant for 34 years. And The Tempest felt like a great and celebratory way to go out. And Ryan Quinn, who's done, I think, 8 or 9 seasons as an actor at HBSF, you know, I'm just really thrilled that he's leading this production, because I think part of his way in is finding places in the play to kind of honor the history of 35 years at Boscobel and all of the stories that have been told there and all of the blood, sweat, and tears, with a particular emphasis on sweat, because outdoor theater doesn't have any lack of sweat, that have gone into so many productions over all those seasons. I will say one other thing, since you played Miranda, is that last time we produced The Tempest, maybe 15 or more years ago, Ryan Quinn was in the company and he played Ferdinand. Uh-huh. And now he has a 4-year-old daughter. And I think he's thinking very much about the relationship between Prospero and Miranda, that father-daughter relationship, as being totally central to the dramaturgy of the play. So as a former Miranda yourself, this production might be right up your alley.
I really was, Davis. I was so bad. I mean, I did my best, but there's no talent there. So you mentioned you're leaving Boscobel. It must be bittersweet, but you have a very exciting new space that you all are working up to hopefully open up next season. Tell us what you can about the Garrison Country Club gift.
Well, I mean, one thing I would say is that, you know, it is currently a golf club, but I think the great story of the vision of Chris Davis, who's the philanthropist who's offering us this incredible 98-acre parcel of land overlooking the Hudson River, is that it's a transformation from what's a golf course to an environmentally sustainable arts campus. that'll be, you know, available to all the people of the Hudson Valley and beyond to come and enjoy this spectacular view. And, you know, if the pandemic has revealed anything among many others, it's how much value there is for human gathering, and our chance to get together in thoughtfully designed outdoor spaces that are safe and inclusive, and a place for people to really restore themselves and recover. So that's going to be a wonderful thing. It's really based on cultural placemaking and community engagement and environmental sustainability, which are the kind of three things that we're focused on in kind of framing this new arts campus in what was formerly a golf course. So the other thing it's going to mean for us is that we'll be able to transform from being just a summer festival at Boscobel, really as defined by the terms of our lease there, to being a year-round cultural anchor for all the people of the Hudson Valley, which we couldn't be more excited about it.
The specific concern of losing a beautiful backdrop of the Hudson Valley view behind the tent is a unfounded one. You will still have a gorgeous view.
We will still have a gorgeous view. We have this acoustician who's worked with us at Boscobel in previous seasons. And when we invited him to come up to do some work at the new site, he was on the train and talking to us on the phone, and he was striking this kind of, a consoling note about the change from Boscobel. And we said, just wait till you get there. And then when he got to the new site, he called us and he said, oh my God, you were right. This is even more spectacular than your previous place, if you can believe it. So I know people have some skepticism about that, but I can assure you that the view there is absolutely second to none. And it'll be a great new and even more expansive backdrop for plays going forward.
It is always been a trademark of Hudson Valley Shakespeare to have that gorgeous scenic Hudson Valley view. So I'm sure everybody will be very happy that you still have one. and it's wonderful. I've only seen a photograph so far, but I'll be down there, you know, next year.
Thank you, Sarah. I mean, really, our work is all about the connection between nature and art. And those are, you know, two of Shakespeare's most favorite themes. And having a home of our own will allow us to weave those two things together even more intimately. And we can't wait to invite people there soon.
To learn more, hvshakespeare.org. Davis McCallum, it is always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you. Enjoy the last summer at Boscobel and break legs with opening the new space.
Thanks. And I look forward to the video evidence of your Miranda in my inbox sometime soon.
No. Once again, hvshakespeare.org for more information. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.